And we heard then, which is the most intriguing song I've heard this year, Dance Monkey from the Tones and I. It was specially requested by our first guest, Stephen Kennedy. So good morning, Stephen. Will you tell us, please, why did you choose Dance Monkey as your special song today?
Karen, hi, good morning, how are you?
And I'm great, thanks.
Welcome to the show. I coach what is now number 16 girls football team. I've always said that the team need a song, and I'm on the sideline with my fellow coaches, Colin Garrett, and I'm probably always shouting "move." And in that song, there's a line: "Move for me, move for me, move for me." And when you do, when this fellow make you do it all again, and that's just football and sport, and it's kind of repetition of movement skills, etc. So it's actually just a happy song to the team, and we've played it, and whenever we play it, there's always a smile on their face, and it's just a positive memory of that group of girls.
Fantastic. Now, that song, it's been like an earworm because I've been hearing it in the car. The kids keep requesting it, and I Googled it last night because I hadn't seen the video, and the singer is Toni Watson. Now, she's an Australian singer, and it reached number one in 10 countries. And when I saw the video, I thought, God, that's hilarious. It's the singer Toni Watson is dressed up as an old gentleman in a nursing home and, you know, barely able to move. And then this song comes on and starts moving and dancing. Then they're dancing around a golf course and all moving. So I suppose that makes sense why you would choose it, and the girls and the lads would really enjoy that song. So, Stephen, tell us, you're the school's liaison in Benadryl GAA Club in Howth. So tell us about that. You manage the under 15 football team and you coach hurling with the boys under 14 and under 15. How do you have time to do all of that stuff?
I just enjoy it massively, I have to say, Karen. I grew up playing sport, GA, soccer. I did running, etc. So I've always had a passion and a love for sport. And in Benadryl, I've been coaching up there now, I think, since 2009, 2010. And it's just fabulous, and it's fabulous to see the growth of it. And any GA club, the schools are so, so important. And in Benadryl, we've got school, we're in Howth, we've got St. Vincent's National School, and we've got the Borough School. And we're always trying to get players from those schools and just get the GA moving and really active there in school. We've been wonderful for the last 10, 15 years, and St. Vincent's has done great work as well. But like in school, where I think it's part of their daily routine, they have school leagues and everything. So some of the kids there are playing four or five times a week, and
oh, fantastic.
You just can't beat it. That's fantastic, and it gives the kids A, enjoyment, but B, skills, because it is. I used the word repetition earlier on. Like any sport you do, it's just practicing the basics day in, day out. That's just going to get you better, and the more exposed you are to hurling, football, soccer, whatever sport it is, the better you're going to be.
And it's all about being on a team. It's all about commitment and showing up for training and, you know, just being there. And, you know, even though it's raining and you've got a match, you can't just say, actually, it's raining and I'm not going and I don't feel like it. You know, there's the whole thing of the team spirit. Do you find that when you get kids early on, like from a nursery, maybe juniors, senior infants and first, second class, you know, do you find the kids who start sports early are the most committed, or is that a myth?
I wouldn't agree 100% with that, Karen. I think kids who start sport early, a lot of it is actually probably their parents are putting them into it.
For sure,
and,
yeah.
Forcing them to be in one respect. And I know a lot of GA clubs will say they're a babysitting service at times for 4, 5, 6, 7-year-olds. And I wouldn't want a 4, 5, 6-year-old out in the lashings of rain, or like we're up in Benadryl and Howth and you're up in the hill and the wind can cut through you. And to me, I'd be saying don't train if it's too cold for the kids at that young, because they're not going to
They're going to hate it, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to hate it. And you want them coming back and you want them enjoying it, like, you know.
So on a rainy day like that, you're the school's liaison officer. So what do you do? Do you go into the PE hall and do you do inside moves or strength and conditioning? Or, you know, what happens? Is there always an alternative?
Well, no, there's not always an alternative. It depends on facilities, etc. And a school's liaison officer, being honest with you, it's a minor role, Karen, as far as we have a GPO in there who goes in and he coaches the kids in those three skills. We've said St. Vincent's, they've got a great hall. St. Vincent's the hall, they'll use the hall. The Borough have a facility as well, another hall in their school, or they have soft ground outside where they can go do some sports. And in Scullaware, they have a GA pitch. So it's the teachers who would decide that on a daily basis. For me, the choices we make is do our team train tonight or not, and depending on the weather. Like, and obviously this week up in Howth, you couldn't train with the wind, etc., because
they'd
be blown away, like, you know. But you're just trying to get them together, and the most important thing is it's that they enjoy it.
Yes, of course.
I now coach the under 16 girls team in Bonaire. We've had that group of girls since they were under 8, and we've kept the majority. I think we've lost, since under 8, I think we've lost maybe 5 girls.
Well, that's phenomenal, Stephen, because, you know, I know boys, I have two boys and a girl, and I know with the lads, when they're on team sport, you know, that their friends are their teammates, and that tends to you know, be a bit of cement for them all. For the girls, you know, it's more difficult when they are teenagers. You know, I think there are more challenges for parents to keep their girls involved in team sports. Did you find that as a challenge, especially when, you know, the whole thing about puberty and they start becoming very conscious of body image and all this, and getting out in a pair of shorts isn't, you know, not most, for a lot of girls that becomes an issue for them around 13, 14, 15. Did you find that a challenge? It's not that they fell out of love with the sport, but that they went through that kind of tricky time in their own lives and it was manifesting itself in going out in all weathers in a pair of shorts. Did you have any experience of that with your under 16 girls?
There's always challenges. I think you just try and create a really, really good environment. Like, we went out last year, probably this time last year, we played a friendly match against Navemore and Oaks, and I was saying, do we have to play this? Because it was a horrific day.
Mm.
And one of the dads took footage. There was hailstones tearing down and everything, and it was only a friendly match on their all-weather pitch, official referee there, etc. But we came back into the dressing room, people were frozen, they all went home. But they're all chatting about it the next Monday, Tuesday night's training, and they're all laughing about it. Like, you know, they're a great bunch of girls. I think you try to create an environment where you say, okay, all we want to do is do our best. If our best is good enough and win games, fantastic. If our best isn't good enough, you know, no harm done. And you do try and create that environment, Karen. And I think our girls love that. Like, we had, of those girls, they were in 7 different primary schools. So that was a challenge. And then now, I think they're in 3 different secondary schools, but of that 3, probably 75-80% are in the 1 secondary school. So they see each other, they bounce off each other, they talk, they come home, they say, is training on or wasn't on, or what was good or wasn't good about training, like, you know. But they have their own network, and it's just important. It's a great outlet for them. Like, the most important thing is that they keep playing.
Yes. That's bottom line, isn't it? And it doesn't even matter what sport, as long as they keep playing, keep exercising. You know, it's just it's vital that we have some bit of exercise built into every day. And there's another issue that that struck me. Now, many years ago, Stephen, now we're going back, I had a spar shop in Swords. And when I opened the store, it had been a greenfield site. So when I opened the store, there were literally dozens and dozens of applications from teenagers looking for part-time work. And I obviously couldn't interview, like, I think there was 112 or 13, I counted. I couldn't interview everybody who applied. So I asked a nearby shopkeeper, I said, how am I going to whittle this down? You know, what is the measure for whittling it down? And this lovely shopkeeper said, look for the kids who are involved in team sports, because they are the ones who are dedicated and committed to their team. So it's always a good starting point when you're looking for a good worker. So I don't know, was that a good benchmark or not? But it's one that I suppose didn't ever steer me wrong. So if I found a kid who was in a team, and it didn't matter whether it was a gymnastics team or a cheerleading team or a GAA or soccer or football, it didn't actually matter to me. As long as they were able to show up to training once or twice a week and for a match the weekend, I was really happy to facilitate them, giving them shifts on other nights of the week so they could still train, still have their matches at the weekend, because it was that commitment. So it's that word commitment. I know in your day job, you're managing director of Talent Partners. That's a recruiting service for executives. Are you drawn towards people connected with team sports when you're trying to place people in executive positions?
Well, absolutely. Like, again, the one thing that clients will often say to us from a work perspective is, will he or she be a good fit for the organisation?
Yeah.
And how do you define, or how do you quantify what fit is? But if you've got somebody who has been able to show throughout their career that they're used to engaging with people all along the way, team sports, etc., that goes a long way. You get a feel for the type of person. If someone is a mentor, you kind of go, okay, well, here's a guy who's giving up his time or her time at the weekend to coach, train, develop. And, you know, it's not just sports, as you say. We've got all these, so you can be an individualist as well and be an expert guitar, piano, accordion player, whatever it is. And that takes passion and discipline and focus. But it's just, it can be, that's individual. And you know, a lot of companies are hiring for teams. And it's important that you are a team player, and then you can show that you've been able to do that, and you roll with the punches. I think it gives great discipline, it gives focus, it allows you to set goals, which are all the things that employers want to talk to you about as well, like, you know. And you see who's really up for them and who's not. And, you know, sometimes, like, I was reading, you've got Sorry.
Well, no, I was going to say, Stephen, you mentioned something really important there. It isn't really just the team sport thing, but if you play in a band or if you've learned guitar or piano or anything at all, you know, all of those things as a prospective employer, you're thinking about that person has actually spent some time during the day learning and studying and doing something other than what they need to do in school, but something that has, you know, stretched their brain in whatever direction, left brain, right brain, whatever, you know, and doing sports or learning an instrument or, you know, playing chess or whatever it is that is something else. They're the things that, and do recruitment companies like yourself, do you look for things like that? Is that one of the first things you look for? Or, you know, and I know obviously experience in the job and whatever, but if you've two people neck and neck and we've got Karen and Stephen and they're both equally qualified for the same job, is there some little hair that splits it between, you know, you get the job and I don't based on X? What is X, Stephen?
Unfortunately, I could tell you what it is, but I'd have to shoot you, Karen.
And that's why you're the managing director.
But there is X, but X is different for everyone.
Yeah.
Because you and I could both go for three different jobs, and I might be preferred for, we'll say, two, and you for one, but it's a different X every time, like, you know? And X depends on what that employer wants and what their culture, what their fit is like. So there's not one just, this is the answer and that's it. Like, you know, like a technology company in town might want a super programmer. I can go in and say I'm involved with teams and I've got XYZ, but there could be a chess player with the best mind, and they just feel, you know what, for what we want, for someone who's going to be sitting alone in the corner, that guy with his mind, his intellect might be better than the people person running out to have teas and coffee, sit down with the group, etc. Like, you know.
So it's really about what your business is, really square pegs for square holes and round pegs for round holes, just to make sure that everybody has the best fit.
Yeah, and you're trying to minimise the risk of a bad hire, because again, that's not good for the company and it's not good for the candidate, and it's obviously not good for ourselves either. Like, you know, so you're trying to minimise the risk and make sure that you put in somebody who's going to be as good as he or she can possibly be. Like,
yeah.
You know?
How long does it take, Stephen, when you have placed somebody and you think that this person is just the perfect candidate and the hire thinks that they're going to be a perfect candidate as well? How long does it take for it to kind of settle in? And I know this is how long a piece of string question, but is it almost instant when somebody goes to a new company that they fit right in and they just, you know, that whole phrase, does your face fit in the organisation?
Yeah.
How long does that happen? Is it instant or does it take a certain amount of weeks or months to really settle? What's your experience?
Really, it's going to take 3 to 6 months for somebody to settle in. By the time, you know, again, it depends on the size of the company they're going into as well, but companies have so many systems, processes, the way they do work compared to the way another company does work. And you've got to learn all of that and the different people and the different departments, etc. So, again, it would depend on the size. You've been to a smaller company and you're meeting everybody in the first day, that's different. But if you work for one of the big tech firms in Dublin where there could be, you know, 200-plus employees, accounts, finance, legal, they're all in different floors, different departments. You mightn't see them very often, but yet they're going to be crucial allies for you in getting your work done, you know, going through contracts, etc. So, we would say 3 to 6 months, like, you know what I mean? You can't judge something in their first week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
No.
You might be able to.
But you would know, like, when 6 months has passed and you're heading towards a year, if you still don't feel comfortable there, it's probably time to start having another look after maybe about a year, when you've given it the first, you know, you've done your first end of year, whatever it is, process audit or whatever it is that you do. At that point, is that a good time? And is there a particular season that people tend to contact you? Is it all about January and September when people are naturally making new starts, or can it be at any time of the year? Do you have peaks now in January and September?
It really is any time of year. Like, when you think of January, people always think, you know, new year, new career. A lot of people are waiting for their bonuses and they're not jeopardy until they get that. And a lot of employers don't pay that bonus until maybe January, February of the next year. So therefore, you're looking at starting times of April, May. Summertime can be very, very busy. So there's no, for us, like, it's not cyclical. It's not that we're going to have a really busy January, February, a really busy November, December, and it'll be kind of okay in between. Like, some of our biggest placements have been in the middle of summer, when actually it can be a great time for companies to hire, because
there's time,
leeway in the marketplace,
yeah,
flexibility to get when I say guys, I mean male females. You know,
yes, yeah, no, I understand. So, and I suppose your point about the summer is really good because people tend to be in a more relaxed form. They're either planning to go on holiday or coming back from holiday, and they might say, okay, actually, I really have a month to commit to really finding the right person so I can actually spend 4 weeks doing this and I'm not firefighting. So getting back to the whole thing about building a network and going back to Benaid or GAA Club. So the girls and the lads that you coach as well, they're already networking. They probably don't even know it. They think they're just on a team, but they're already networking. And if they're hanging around with the kids who are in 3 and 4 and 5 different schools, they're already, you know, making their reach much wider than just their own road or their own classroom, which is a fabulous skill to be able to have when you leave school, go to college, and then you meet kids from different parts of the country. And, you know, and every part-time job that you have another network of friends and colleagues and contacts. They're all really good things to know when you're going out into the world of work. So, so Stephen, if anyone wants to join Benaid or GAA Club in Howth or any other GAA club, how do they get involved? Do you have a website that maybe you can share with us?
Yeah, like obviously Benaid.com is the website for Benaid or GAA Club. It's sending an email. You know, the club is on Facebook, it's on all the social media platforms, and it's just talking, and we're looking to grow and develop, like, you know, even from the girls' perspective and the 2020 movement, etc. Like Benaid, I think had less than 20, I was coaching up there in 2010, 2011, I think we had less than 20 girls playing, and in the GAA, girls can't play with boys after under 12, they have to be standalone teams, like. So we were forced to put in an under 13 girls team, and we went as a club, which most clubs in Dublin have done the same journey, from having circa 20 odd girls. Now we have over 300 girls registered in Benaid, which is phenomenal. But that's just the growth of sport, and it's Gaelic football.
Well, that's a testament. You know, if you can make a growth like that in the last 10 years, when everyone else is competing for the attention, you've got gymnastics clubs and ballet and everything else competing for your girl, you know, swimming, whatever, you know, to be able to hold on to that and grow it, that's phenomenal. And then, Stephen, just finally, if somebody wants to do this whole new year, new career, and while they're waiting for their bonus or whatever they wait for, lucky them, have you a website for your business that maybe we can share as well?
Yeah, callumpartners.ie.
Okay.
Is the website. And yeah, I'd be delighted to speak to anybody who is looking to identify a new career and set new goals for themselves in 2020 and onwards. And again, the majority of our work, we're working in technology, we work in engineering, facilities management and pharma. And there are great roles, and there's some great employers here in North County Dublin as well, like, you know, so I'll have it from the doorstep.
Well, that's fantastic. Stephen, listen, thanks for taking the time today to talk to us and to tell us about the importance of getting teenagers involved in team sports, and also for sharing with us about your experience about the right fit for the right job, because a lot of the time people talk, you know, about changing job or changing career. Sometimes you probably just need to have somebody. Do you do consultation, that if somebody just wanted to have a chat with you and say, I'm not happy where I am, but I don't know where I want to go. Is that one of the services that you would offer?
Yeah, actually it is. Yeah, we've done a lot of consultation work with
super
candidates, and they don't have to be our candidates, Karen. They might come to us and say, I'm looking at this or looking at that, and I might say, well, the experts in that area would be company X.
Okay.
Speak with them, but
good to know
how you need to present yourself to be able to get the best role for yourself in the marketplace.
Good to know. Well, listen, thanks so much for joining us today, Stephen. Really appreciate that. So just to remind people about the websites, it's benaidor.com. So that's I'll spell it for you. It's BENNEADAIR.com. Did I get that one right, Stephen?
That's correct, yeah.
And they have a Facebook page. And then your website is Talent Partners. That's TALENTPARTNERS, all one word, .ie.